This is The Disconnect, Power, Politics, and the Texas Blackout. I'm Moz Bouchel, and we are back. It's been a couple months since our last episode, but we wanted to come out with this new one just to kind of catch you all up on what's been happening, because a lot has been happening. And here to join me is KUT's Claire McInerney.
Hello.
Once again.
I have questions. I've been busy since we released the podcast, so I haven't kept up with what's happened as much as you.
I mean, who has the time, really?
That's why we have you, the beat reporter.
The person listening to the workshops at the Public Utility Commission. So I guess to start with, what do you want to know?
Okay, so I guess my question then is, I'm wearing a sweater today for the first time. It's a little chilly. We are heading into a Texas winter. What if there's another storm? Did anything happen over the summer that could help protect us all if another big storm came?
I'll say ever since the blackout, there's a word that we used a lot in the podcast and that we've heard a lot, winterization. The idea is that you kind of protect power plants and other energy infrastructure against cold weather, but like, it's just a shorthand for so many things. And so that's what's happening right now. There are a lot of power plants that are trying to winterize. And in fact, the State Public Utility Commission did recently pass a rule for the first time mandating it. If you remember, there were no real strong regulations making them winterize ahead of the February blackout. And that was a huge part of the problem.
I was going to say, because one of the arguments was if every power plant had been winterized, it might not have been as bad.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recently visited a power plant to take a look at actually what this looks like. But before we get into that, I just want to play you some sound. Do you hear that?
I do.
So that is the sound of electricity.
Ooh.
Yeah, on some transmission lines and stuff outside this power plant I just visited to check out winterization. I just want to play it a little bit longer so we can hear it. For anybody who's like a radio nerd, I was walking around this power plant and I kept thinking my mic cable was busted.
I was just going to say, it does sound like when your cable is scratchy.
Yeah, I kept switching out cables, and finally this guy in a hard hat was like, everyone can hear that. So yeah, this is sound I got in at this power plant in Midlothian, Texas.
Where's Midlothian?
It's outside of Dallas, rural community. And the company that owns this power plant, Vistra, invited a bunch of reporters there to take a look, basically, at what winterizing a power plant is, what it looks like.
Well, and first, can you tell me, like, what does a power plant look like, or this power plant look
like? So that's a great question.
Yeah.
This is a six-unit power plant. One thing you got to understand about power plants is a lot of times there's more than one energy generation unit on it. This one has six kind of individual generating units. It's also what they call a combined cycle plant. I don't want to get too wonky here, but most natural gas plants are. Each of these units sits in a kind of big field fenced off in a row. And each one almost looks like its own mini power plant. There's like a small structure with a stack, kind of chimney, you know, what they call a stack coming off of it. And each one can be operated independently depending on how much electricity they want to generate.
And how does that work?
I think the important thing to understand is that to make electricity at a combined cycle gas plant takes water, air,
okay,
which is something I didn't really understand, but like air is really important to this process, and of course natural gas. These are like the ingredients that go into these generators to make energy.
Okay, so it got winterized.
Yeah.
I imagine little like mittens on the power plant.
Yeah, a big winter hat and just put it on top. One more thing, Claire. I gotta warn you. It gets loud.
Okay. Do I have everybody?
And so this is Kurt Terry. He's actually the plant manager here in Midlothian. And if he sounds like he's yelling at us, that's kind of because he has to. You got to have a big voice to talk over all this noise.
All right.
Let's go see what it's all about.
So one of the first things I noticed walking through the site is how exposed it all seems. There are like tons of tanks, pipes, valves, control panels, all sorts of stuff just kind of out in the open.
Okay.
And in a colder part of the world, Terry says it would just not be like this.
Everything that you're seeing would all be inside of an enclosure, which is one of the challenges in the state of Texas. We've got to battle the heat more than we do the cold.
So that, in a nutshell, is what winterizing is, right? You take a Texas power plant and you make it so it can run in the cold, too. And last February, again, that is exactly what did not happen. About half of the state's natural gas fleet had trouble making power. And a lot of it was because those ingredients we talked about, air, water, gas, they stopped flowing in the plant. So let's start with air. Again, I didn't quite grasp how important this was, but of course you need air to generate power. And also a lot of the moving parts on these plants, like valves and actuators that help the plant run, they're controlled with pressurized air. So that requires big air compressors, like the ones we're listening to right now, to move air through pipes to run the plant.
If those lines were to freeze going to those valves and actuators, you may not be able to get a valve to control itself, which could ultimately cause a trip or, in this case, a forced outage.
So that's why at this plant, they've installed dew point monitors and air dryers, because that air has to be super dry to reduce the chance of the pipes freezing, right? If there's water in there, it could freeze. At this plant, they've also built little metal shelters and kind of windbreaks around these air compressors and other exposed machinery. It's just simple corrugated metal. Here's the sound of me just banging on it with my fist. Sometimes there's a heater in these structures. It basically just protects against winter weather, but it also opens up in the summer to keep things cool.
Okay, we'll go ahead and we'll keep moving.
So next, let's talk about water. There are pipes, again, all over the place, just snaking around these generation units. And a lot of them have air. A lot of them also carry water. And a lot of these pipes seem insulated, but in extreme cold, that's just not going to cut it. So at the Midlothian plant, they also have these little kind of heater cables buried within the insulation. This is a system called heat tracing that keeps the lines warm when temperatures outside drop.
That's what's going to prevent those lines from freezing, which allows us to be reliable in those cold weather events.
He says there's about 12 miles of this installed in the Midlothian plant, and that other plants are getting more of it installed this fall. If the heat tracing malfunctions, or if the pipe temperatures drop, sensors will go off to alert plant workers so they can try to warm things up.
We also have portable heaters at our disposal. We have line thawing machines. I mean, there's a tremendous amount outside of what we're showing you.
So Claire, does that start to answer the question?
It does. It's very interesting.
But
yeah,
there's one thing. At this plant I visited, the Midlothian plant, very little of this is actually new. All this stuff, the insulation, heat tracing, temperature monitors, windbreaks, air dryers. Terry says, the plant manager says, that basically all this stuff had been installed here before last February. They actually did it after an earlier winter freeze, the 2011 winter freeze 10 years ago.
So a lot of what you're looking at today are things that we've improved upon coming out of the 2011 event.
So his plant was winterized in February.
Yes, and that's actually the reason that Vistra, the big energy company that owns this plant, wants to take reporters here on these tours, right? Because unlike a lot of other plants, this one winterized before last February's storm.
Was it okay during the storm?
Yeah, nothing here froze. Nothing broke down. But the plant still couldn't produce enough power.
Why?
Okay, so the reason for that is our last stop.
Okay.
Right directly behind us is one of our gas yards coming into the plant. This is where the gas supply from the state of Texas turns into the plant. This is where we were basically handicapped during the winter event Uri.
If you remember, the storm also affected the natural gas supply chain, right? The gas just stopped flowing. And this plant is a prime example of that. They say at certain times, the Midlothian plant, even though everything was running smoothly mechanically here, was producing under a third of its energy capacity, what it was capable of putting on the grid.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and that's because there was just so little gas coming through these pipes.
The units require roughly 650 pounds of pressure to operate. We had nowhere near the sufficient amount of pressure.
And without that pressure, you can't run a natural gas generator sufficiently. Here, check this out.
Okay.
This is the sound of a power generator starting up. See, like I said, it gets loud.
Right? When you've got your team out here and they're doing what they've been trained to do and they're producing power and they're basically being curtailed and held back, I mean, I don't think anybody ever wants to be in that position.
The thing is, Claire, as long as natural gas remains unreliable in a storm, so does the state's electric grid.
So was protecting the natural gas lines not part of the PUC's new rule of winterization?
This has become the big sticking point in the world of energy in Texas now. You have these mandates for power plants to winterize.
But nothing for natural gas.
Okay, so now I'm going to take you far away from the Midlothian power plant, okay, to what has become kind of an infamous meeting of state senators at, I think it was the Business and Commerce Committee.
When?
This happened a little earlier this fall.
Okay.
And this is where they talked to the executive director of the Railroad Commission of Texas. If you've forgotten, this is the agency that regulates oil and gas in the state.
And they're pretty pro oil and gas.
Yeah, the Railroad Commission certainly has the reputation of being aligned with the oil and gas industry, despite the fact that they're also state regulators. And in this hearing, state senators, first of all, they learned that the commission had not yet inspected all the gas sites that stopped working last February. And they also learned that the commission had proposed winterization rules for oil and gas that allowed gas suppliers to opt out of winterizing. So here's some of the reaction.
Okay. Sounds like you're going to miss this coming winter.
This is Republican State Senator Donna Campbell talking to Wei Wang. He's the executive director of the Railroad Commission.
Are you ready for this coming winter?
For the critical detonation rule, it will be.
Are you ready? Are the wellheads, the pipes, are you getting ready? Will they be ready for this winter?
Well, our weatherization rule will now be adopted before this winter.
It got even more intense than that. I think it was John Widmeyer, a Democratic state senator from Houston, told the Railroad Commission guy,
your rulemaking proposal sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. What the Railroad Commission has been doing over the course of the last few months was not received well by these lawmakers.
Because they don't think it goes far enough to actually.
Well, I mean, the system is that gas suppliers can fill out a form, pay a $150 filing fee, and exempt themselves from winterizing their infrastructure. And if they don't need to winterize, then that takes us back to that power plant we visited. It's possible that the gas isn't getting to the plant. And I should say, we're still waiting on this final rule to be approved. But right now, it looks like things are turning in the favor of the gas industry.
Okay. And would they want to opt out of winterizing just what, to save themselves money or something?
Yeah. The number one thing is that winterizing costs money. Sure. So maybe you wouldn't want to burden yourself with that.
Okay.
There's also the fact that the natural gas market in Texas can profit off of tight supply. I mean, if you remember back in the storm, the big winners, you know, financially out of the winter storm were gas companies.
Yeah.
I mean, billions and billions of dollars. And it was also huge news when it was learned that a lot of them had started contributing millions to political campaigns of Texas state leaders, including the governor. So for a lot of these companies coming out of February, the tight gas supply, the low supply of gas, was incredibly lucrative. And in fact, even more recently, the Railroad Commission voted to essentially bake those high prices into Texans' gas bills for decades to come. We're all going to be paying more on our bills for maybe up to the next 30 years because of exactly what we're talking about, because the gas infrastructure broke down in the storm. That created tight gas supply when there was really high demand, and that caused the price of gas to like skyrocket, just go astronomical. So everybody who was buying gas at that time was paying crazy prices. And there's really no way to pay that all off in one go because they were so high. What the Railroad Commission did was essentially approve this system that allows us to pay that off. It's about $3.4 billion in extra gas payments that were created just in that one week. That one week in February, $3.4 billion. And now we're going to be paying that off as gas consumers on our monthly bills for decades to come.
So we're paying for something we did not, a problem we did not create.
Yeah, yeah, we're basically paying extra for the failure of this system to provide natural gas.
So all these senators were really upset, but did they do anything about it?
And so this is where I got to say it's a little more complicated than state senators cracking down on this rogue agency, right?
Sure.
The Railroad Commission points out correctly that the law that they passed last spring, the law that Texas lawmakers passed, allowed for exemptions. You can look at this law. There's
sure.
a certain reading of this law that says, oh, yeah, no, companies should be allowed to opt out. And so this is what the Railroad Commission's position is, just kind of pointing back to lawmakers saying, we are enacting the law that you passed. And again, you know, if you remember our previous podcast, a lot of people even back then were saying this law is insufficient. It is
right.
not going to protect the gas infrastructure. I guess maybe some of these folks in the state Senate didn't listen to our podcast, but they seemed
rude.
I know, right? They seemed shocked, like shocked to learn that they had included a loophole in the law. I mean, a lot of people say that this was kind of political theater.
Sure.
But the fact remains that this happened during a special session. So all these lawmakers were still meeting in Austin. They were passing bills and
had every opportunity.
Well, if they wanted to close this loophole,
yes,
all it would have required this time is for the governor, for Greg Abbott, to just put it on the agenda, right?
Sure.
And then they could have gone in and done a vote and said, okay, actually, no, you need to make this winterization happen, natural gas infrastructure. That was never put on the agenda. They never voted on it. And so we are basically now kind of in this holding pattern.
Yeah, the question, are we ready for this winter? The answer is still, we don't know.
If we had another storm like February this winter, we would have another big blackout.
Well, if that happens, I guess I'll see you in season two of The Disconnect, Moz.
Thanks, Claire. The Disconnect is a production of KUT and KUTX Studios in Austin. Our production team includes me, Claire McInerney, Jimmy Moss, Andrew Weber, Audrey McGlinchey, and Matt Largy. Engineering support from Jake Perlman. You can hear the whole series wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a review or recommend the series to a friend. We'll have more updates as we see what this winter brings for the Texas power grid. So stay subscribed. I'm Moz Bouchel. Thanks for listening.